In my statement, I already said that Zim asset without funding cannot be a panacea to our problems. There is no difference between Zim asset, Zim press, all these other programs that have been announced and they've disappeared into the state file. For instance, I point out Zim asset requires 27 billion. We are generating 4 billion worth of budget every year. So how do you get 27 million to fund this program?
What alternative policy do you have?
We do have a JUICE, the program, which is a jobs plan. The jobs plan is a very clear program that will entail reinvestment, increased production, and also employment creation. That's where the thrust should be.
You talked about correcting some policies. Are you talking here about indigenization?
Indigenization was something that was coined by ZANU-PF. We talked about empowering our people. The two are different. Indigenization, where it forces people to give up certain percentages of the value of companies, is destroyed confidence in the economy. Whereas if we had programs of empowerment, we would actually be creating platforms for our people to participate much more meaningfully. So the whole conceptualization of the indigenization policy, even ZANU-PF has admitted it needs to be reviewed. In the meantime, we have an economy where some of our own indigenous takeovers have actually failed because they've lacked financial backing, they've lacked training, they've lacked any partnership that is going to help the economy. So it's a disaster. Even ZANU-PF accepts that it has been a major failure.
Let's talk about the foreign policy. You also say Zimbabwe is a myopic foreign policy.
Well, first and foremost, our foreign policy should be that we will engage everyone on a win-win situation. What is the best interest of the country? We have a situation in which we have very look-east policy at the expense of other countries that have been major trading partners for a very long time, created fissures that are totally unnecessary. So our foreign policy must be based on the best interest that we can derive from that relationship.
On the reflections, you seem also to be admitting that there were some things you overlooked on the elections. Is this your Damascus moment?
No. One needs to separate between the participation and the consequence of that participation. As I said in my statement, the rigging was far beyond even our understanding, even ZANU-PF's understanding. This was a highly militarized operation. If it had been the ordinary ZANU-PF shenanigans, we would have dealt with it. But this was beyond us.
Let's talk about the party congress and how do you hope to emerge as a party in October?
The congress is coming at a time when we have had this rebellion. It's coming at a time when there are certain narratives that are being promoted. It's coming at a time when the country is facing its biggest ever crisis. So we are focused. We want this congress to be an issue-based congress, not a position-oriented congress. So this is going to be a congress not based on just elections. Election is just but one of the last agenda items. But fundamentally, we are looking at the organization transformation.
Let's talk just briefly about properties said to be in the hands of the renewal team. How is it affecting the daily activities of your party?
Well, the party is of course, facing very serious financial situation. That's why we have put the burden on our members. We would rather not dwell so much on what property has been taken by whom. We have had this experience before in 2005, a much worse situation than we are facing now. So we will emerge because our people support us. And those who are committed to democratic struggle know that the so-called renewal agenda has nothing to do with fighting Mugabe or fighting ZANU-PF. So we will not put much attention to that. Whether they have one vehicle or one office, what does it matter to the struggle challenge that we face as a party?